Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good evening, Amazing Grace Facebook and YouTube family. It's such a great joy and an honor to come into your living rooms once again. My name is Fee Sullivan, pastor of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and I hope you had a wonderful evening so far. And I truly hope that this message will bless you and build you up in your most holy faith. Praise God, praise God. Saints of God, I just want to just give a quick shout out, an announcement. Many of us were planning to do the testimonial service Sunday night. And according to the contract with Sweetwater, they came at the last moment and said we were unable to do that unless we paid a monetary fee. And we didn't want to keep kicking the can down the road. So Sister Leah came up with a great idea. So this Sunday morning, we're going to do our testimonial service. Yeah, it'll be a regular service. We're going to have worship and testimonials. Listen, please bring out friends and family. Bring people out and testify what God has done in your life. Look, God has done miraculous things. I'm going to be sharing one that took place just about a week ago. And then I'm going to close out at the very end of the service how God saved me from a hard life of drugs and alcohol and just many of the devices that the devil wanted to destroy my life. But I know you that are listening, or maybe we'll listen to this later on, I know that you have a testimony. And I know that God wants to use that testimony to help somebody else. But more so that you would glorify God and magnify God. And so come out this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and we're gonna testify what God has done in your life, in my life, and God's gonna get all the glory, honor, and praise. Praise God. That's right. Listen, also our first healing rooms in November, it's the second Sunday, we're gonna continue service and then fellowship in the fellowship hall with the potluck and then our healing rooms. And I just want to let you know that Sister Tammy Hernandez and Brother Angel Hernandez are doing a marvelous job keeping everything together, and all the other helpers and servants that serve in the healing rooms. You guys are doing just a marvelous, all of you, every one of you. And we hope that God will bring people there to truly hear a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word that they could embrace and hold on to and let it be confirmed in their life that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ever think and ask and hope for. So we have a lot on the agenda. And also one last announcement. We did get our Christmas date. It'll be Saturday. I want you to write that down on your calendar. It'll be Saturday, December 17th. And here's the good news. That will be our Sunday service, meaning at 5 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to have our Christmas program, and then we're going to have our dinner in the fellowship hall. Sunday morning, we're going to take off. In other words, you could stay home and relax, sleep in. That Saturday will be our Sunday morning. So I hope that helps you out with that. And also, I'm flying in my grandkids, Benjamin and Ella Boudreau, and they're going to team up with the worship team and bring forth their gifts. And we'll get a little glimpse of what's happening with them at their church in Arkansas. They lead their youth group over there. So we're excited what God is about to do in the midst of his people. So with all that said, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We glorify you and we magnify you. And Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, I'm excited to introduce this brand new book to us. It's the book of Titus, written by Paul. It was one of his epistles. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 1. We're going to expound the first 1 through 5 verses, but not just yet. We want to do an introductory in this book. And so I'm going to get this screen available. And give me a second. Here we go. Yes. I've entitled this evening's message, Introduction of the Book of Titus. Introduction of the Book of Titus. Praise God, praise God. And so, in the introduction, we're going to cover the purpose, the author, the date written, the setting, the key verse, and the introduction of this letter. And so, if you have your Bibles, hold tight on chapter 1. We're going to get to verses 1 through 5 in just a moment. But let's cover what I just read so we have a clear understanding where all this was taking place during the time of Paul's writings. So here we go. What was the purpose? Well, the purpose was to advise Titus in his responsibility of supervising the churches on the island of Crete. So he had a duty, and Titus is mentioned because of his faithfulness. See, God put Titus on display through the writings of Paul because this brother was obedient. This brother had purpose, and he is fulfilling his call right then and there during the time of Paul when he came to that region. What was the author? Obviously, Paul the Apostle. He was the author. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the audience. The audience. Titus, a Greek, probably converted to Christ through Paul's ministry. Titus had become Paul's special representative to the island of Crete and all believers everywhere. Praise God. Praise God. And so we could see that Titus, as a Greek, received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and was born again. And now it's called, listen, saints of God, that's no different to you and I for such a time as this. God called us no differently to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless the kingdom of God and to help others be built up and edified in their most holy faith. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go back. Now, the date written. The date written, approximately A.D. 64, around the same time. And 1 Timothy was written, probably from Macedonia. And Paul traveled between his Roman imprisonments. Wow. Wow. So that's when the date was written. And so we're going to get to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy down the road. And we're going to see how all these epistles tie into one another on God's grace. Now, let's look at the setting. What was the setting? Paul sent Titus to organize and oversee the churches on the island of Crete. This letter tells Titus how to do this job. Praise God, praise God. Titus had a job, and he did it very well. It's mentioned throughout the scriptures. It's mentioned in other books as well. So what was the key verse? The key verse was found in Titus 1 and 5. And it reads, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should," what? "Set in order the things that are lacking." And look at this. "And appoint elders in every city as I," what? "Commanded you." Wow, wow, wow. Praise God, praise God. So, my friends, we're going to go now to the introduction. Let's look at the introduction here. And it reads, "The vacuum produced when a strong leader departs can devastate a movement, organization, or institution." Look at this. "Having been dependent on his or her skill, style, and personality, associates and subordinates flounder or vie for control. Soon, efficiency and vitality are lost and decline, and demise follows. Now, stay with me with this, saints. Look at this. Often this pattern is repeated in churches. Great speakers and teachers gather a following, and soon a church is flourishing. It is alive, vital, and effective. Lives are being changed and people led into the kingdom. Praise God. But when this person leaves or dies, with him or her goes the drive in the heart of the organization. Wow. Wow. Let's look at this now. People flock to hear Paul's teaching. Praise God. Praise God. Educated, articulate, motivated, and filled with the Holy Spirit. This man of God faithfully proclaimed the good news. Praise God. Throughout the Roman Empire, lives were changed and churches began. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, he was such a mighty man of valor, a mighty man of God. Paul, the great apostle. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this. But Paul knew that the church must be built on Christ, not a person. And he knew that eventually he would not be there to build, encourage, discipline, and teach. So he trained young pastors to assume leadership in the churches after he was gone. Praise God. That was his role. That's what an apostle's role is to build other churches and watch them flourish. Praise God. Praise God. You know, God has everything under his control. Can I get an amen? He has everything in his control. Praise God. Now, let's look at this right here. Paul urged them to center their lives on the preaching of the word and to train others to carry on the ministry. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's take a look at what was written in 2 Timothy chapter 2 regarding this wonderful man that Paul alludes to, who he wrote to in the book of Titus. Let's look at this. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others and others also. Praise God. Praise God. That's what Paul was all about. Look what we find in 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at this. All scripture, say that with me at home. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Titus, he was a Greek scholar. Let's look at this verse of scripture real quick once again, because it says a whole lot here. It says a whole lot on who Titus was. You see, Titus was a Greek, born-again believer, taught and nurtured by Paul. He stood before the leaders of the church in Jerusalem as a living example of what Christ was doing among the Gentiles. Praise God. Praise God. Let's take a look at what it was written in Galatians chapter 2. Look at this. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also, here you go, took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. No, he didn't follow the Judaizers like we read in Galatians. No, no, not at all. You see, like Timothy, he was one of Paul's trusted traveling companions and very close friends. Later, he became Paul's special ambassador and eventually the overseer of the churches on Crete. Praise God. Praise God. Look, saints, God did a marvelous job with Titus. Look what we find in 2 Corinthians right here. In 2 Corinthians right here, in chapter 7, verse 5 through 16, I need you to catch this. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Wow. Here's where Titus is mentioned, right there, even in the Ephesus area. Look at this. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. You see, Titus had always a good report, something good to say. Verse 8, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Praise God, praise God. Look at this. Verse 9. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. Praise God. You see, Paul had to send sometimes letters to build up their life, even if he had to chastise them. Look at what it says. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. That's the key right there. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Oh, that's right. But when it's unto God, God is the one that will restore. God will uplift you. Praise God. Listen, I'm here to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you and I could ever think and ask and hope for. Whatever you're going through right now, God is able to sustain you. God is able to bless you. God is able to heal you. God is able to meet your financial needs. Oh, that's right. And there are times when we fall out of the will of God, and God will chastise us. He will bring us a message that's sorrowful, which should lead us to repentance, that we would cry out and say, oh, God, forgive me for this particular sin or this issue or what I've said to hurt someone's feelings or to just be a troublemaker sometimes. Oh, God, tame my tongue. Oh, God, help me live the walk. That's the key, because there are times when we will miss the mark and we have to allow God, hallelujah, to speak to us and to humble us sometimes. But it's not to cast us away. It's to build up our life. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's go back to this word here. Look at this in verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Not to be what? Regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Look at this in verse 11. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear. What vehement desire. What zeal. What vindication. In all things, you prove yourselves to be clear in this matter. Meaning, the Corinthian church, those true believers repented when Paul had to bring a harsh rebuke because of the way they were living. Look at this in verse 12. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Praise God. Praise God. Paul was looking out for their best interest, saints. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus. This, he's always mentioning Titus because his spirit has been refreshed by what? By you all. Praise God. Look at this in verse 14. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. And his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. Praise God, praise God. See, God was allowing Paul to exalt Titus. Titus was a very key proponent. during this era, during this time, for the kingdom of God. And he was used mightily. And this is why Paul, the apostle, wrote about Titus. There's only about 3 or 4 chapters, but it will enlighten you and I, saints. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, slowly and carefully, Paul developed Titus into a mature Christian and a responsible leader. The letter to Titus was a step in his discipleship process. As with Timothy, Paul told Titus how to organize and lead the churches. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Look at this for a moment, saints of God. Let's look at this. Paul begins with a longer than usual greeting and introduction, outlining the leadership of progression. Praise God. Praise God. And we're gonna cover this introduction before we get into the first few verses. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Paul's ministry, saints of God, in the first chapter, 1-3, we can read about Paul's responsibilities. And then it goes on, and then we read about those leaders whom Titus would appoint and train. Paul then lists pastoral qualifications later on in chapter 1 and contrasts faithful elders with the false leaders and the teachers. Next, Paul emphasizes the importance of good deeds in the life of the Christian, telling Titus how to relate to various age groups in the church. He urges Titus to be a good example of a mature believer in chapter 2 and to teach with courage and conviction. He then discusses the general responsibility of Christians in society. Titus should remind the people of these in chapter 3, and he should avoid divisive arguments. Paul concludes, saints of God, with a few matters of itinerary and personal greetings in chapter 3. Saints, Paul's letter to Titus is brief, but it is an important link in the discipleship process, helping a young man grow into a leader of this wonderful church there in Crete. And so as we read this pastoral letter, the book of Titus, you will gain insight into the organization and life of the early church. And we will all find principles for structuring contemporary churches, praise God. But saints of God, we should also see how to be a responsible Christian leader. If we read the letter to Titus and determine, like Paul, to train men and women to lead and to teach others, God will be glorified, God will be magnified, and God will be lifted up. Praise God. Praise God. So, here we go. Are you there? Let's start with verse 1 in the book of Titus. And it reads, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time. Look at this. Verse 3, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus, our Christ and our Savior. Look at this in verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Praise God. Praise God. So let's break down these 5 verses tonight, saints of God, and then we'll continue next week in the book of Titus. Praise God. Praise God. And so here we go. Number 1, Paul, a bondservant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness. You see, my friends, Paul identified himself by name and by authority. He called himself a slave of God, that is, one who was committed to obeying God. This is the only place where Paul used this particular phrase to describe himself. Praise God, praise God. And even though Paul was not one of the original 12 disciples, later called apostles. He had been especially called by God as an apostle to bring the good news to the Gentiles. Praise God. Praise God. It's no different than this, saints of God. It's like I remember when I was in junior high school and high school, there was a lot of Christian youth, peers, but I never hung with them. I never knew who they were. I wasn't born again. I wasn't part of their group. I didn't want to be either. Matter of fact, when they used to try to come witness to me, I said, don't get close to me or I'll knock you out. That's how I was. I didn't have the mind of Christ. But see, later on in life, when I got saved, I teamed up with some of them that were saved, and they were totally shocked because they knew who I was. They knew my character back then in my BC years. But God does wonderful and awesome, miraculous things. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, Paul mentioned in the book of Acts how he was glorifying God. I need us to go to the book of Acts to see something, a key element here. Let's go there right now. Look at this. In Acts 9, 1 through 16. Then Saul of Tarsus, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that he would found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Who were of the way? That was the church of the living God. That was the born again church. They were called the way. Look at this. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads or the goads. Look at this. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verse 7. And then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into where? Brought him into Damascus. Praise God. Look at this. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Wow. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear what? My name before Gentiles, kings, children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did you catch that right now, saints? As I was sharing, you and I, who got saved, it baffles the mind of our family members. It baffles the minds of maybe our co-workers. It baffles the minds of our neighbors because they once saw who we were. For me, I was a blasphemer. And so Paul, hallelujah, by the grace of God, who was Saul of Tarsus, God called him out of darkness in to this wonderful, marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God has done for you and I. Come on, give God a shout of praise, because God found us, hallelujah, when there were times we had no hope. For me, I had lost everything. People ran out of my life. The drugs were tearing me up. But God came and rescued me. God came and rescued you, praise God. And so Paul had an opportunity now to go to many places and to raise up beautiful men and women. And the one we're speaking about tonight is Titus and what he did for Titus. You see, saints, Paul's twofold reference to himself combines humble obedience with confident authority on his part. And as a servant and apostle, Paul focused on his life on two main concerns, faith and truth. You see, God sent Paul to bring faith to those who God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth. God's chosen are those who have responded to the gospel, and that's you and I, saints of God. That's you and I. We were called out of darkness into His marvelous light. How many are so blessed at home to know that you have been called and chosen by God? Out of billions of people, He came and chose you. He chose me. Friends, you ever wonder that some of your family members, some of your friends, co-workers, they're not walking with God. They're not walking with Christ. You share the gospel to them, and a lot of them say, yeah, that's good for you. It'll go in one ear and out the other. But don't you marvel? Aren't you so blessed to know that He has called you and He has called me? And now we are the children of the Most High God. Now we await the greatest promise to mankind. And that's to have a body like His. When He comes and He restructures our DNA, we have the new body. My goodness, saints of God. It's soon and very soon, praise God. And although we can't totally understand the doctrine of election, it gives us tremendous insight into God's love and wisdom. And after responding to faith, my friends, God's people then need training in the truth so that they can live godly lives, praise God. You see, Paul's view of ministry was always long-term. He was not content to aim at people merely responding to the gospel. Nuh-uh. His goal was to bring people to spiritual maturity in Christ. Praise God, praise God. So, let's move on to verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before what? Time began. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, God's truth taught by Paul to God's chosen gives the confidence of eternal life. Believers' confidence regarding their eternal future is based on a good foundation, for God Himself has promised it before the world began. Praise God. And my friends, the promise did not come at a point when sin entered into the world, or even at the moment that God sent Christ to deal with the problem of sin. Rather, Christ's coming and the promise of eternal life had been planned by God from the very beginning. Praise God. Praise God. He didn't say, I got to go down there and do something about these people. No. Before the world even existed, He already knew us. He knew your name. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God already had the plan in place. It was in motion that you and I this day would be glorifying Him and magnifying and praising Him. Come on, give God a shout of praise at home. Praise God for what He has done in your life and my life. Praise God. You see, my friends, God has been and always will be in supreme control of this entire universe, world events, and the future of His people. Confidence is also based on the fact that God cannot lie. Praise God. And apparently, lying was commonplace in Crete. Lying is commonplace today. Oh, there's people that lie day and night. But you will know the truth when you hear the truth, because God will make it clean and clear. Praise God. And Paul, he made it clear at the start that God does not lie. Trust in God's character forms the foundation of our faith. Because God is truth, He's the source of all truth, and He cannot lie. This puts Him in a complete contrast to Satan, who is the father of lies. Wow. Wow. Oh, that's right. I want you to catch this verse right here found in John. Look at this. Jesus told the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the evildoers, the religious folks who basically had no power from the Holy Spirit, They were, he would call them whitewashed tombs, dead men's bones that lived in them. Why? Because they were arrogant, they were hypocritical. And this is what he said. This is Jesus' writing right here. You are of the, look at this. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Did you catch that, saints of God? Satan is the father of lies, but God is the God of all truth. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. See, let me make it clear. If you're born again, you've repented of your sins, you've walked away from your from the world of debauchery, and you cry out to God in a heart of repentance, what he does then is he covers you and washes you in the blood of the Lamb. And once the blood eradicates the original sin, now the Holy Spirit can live inside you and I. And that is the down deposit. That is what's deposited in us as we wait for his return. The true manifestation by faith of the power of the Holy Spirit lives in us. It moves in our being. It operates. It convicts us when we need to be convicted. Oh, that's right. But he empowers us to live holy, sanctified before him. Praise God, praise God. But Satan is the opposite. He wants to destroy. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, no, no way. I come to give life and life more abundantly. So being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, is our guarantee that God will come back for his people. Saints of God, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Can I get an amen? Jesus is soon to return. Praise God. And the eternal life that God has promised will be ours because he keeps his promises. You got to believe that, saints. You got to believe that. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 3 in Titus chapter 1. But has in due time, look at this, manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Praise God. Praise God. It's through the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. Don't stop preaching, my friends. Don't stop preaching. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the promise came before time began. The revealing of that promise, God's good news, the hope of eternal life, came at the right time. And that is, God sent his son at the proper time, the time of his own choosing. What? To bring the word of salvation to light. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says right here in the book of Romans. Look at this. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? It was in due time, his time, God's timing. Look at what it's found in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Once again, it was God's fullness of time, his appointed time. Praise God, not ours. Hallelujah. When you got saved, it was God's appointed time that you got saved that day. For me, 33 years ago, I got saved because it was God's appointed time. Look what it says in the book of Ephesians. Praise God. I love this right here. Look at this. It says, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, there it is, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Look at this in verse 11 and 12. In him also we have obtained what? An inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the, what? Praise. Praise of his glory. Praise God. Praise God. And look what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2 and 6. Look at this. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified, what? In due time. In due time. Praise God. Praise God. You see, Paul, at an opportune time in history, was called by God to announce this good news to everyone. Praise God. And so, we are not here by accidents, saints of God. We're here by purpose. God purposely saved you and I in His allotted time, that we would bring forth praise and glory and honor unto His name. This is why we need pastors and teachers to keep building up our lives. Oh, a Sunday morning doesn't cut it. This is why it's important to have midweek Bible study, so that we can grow in the knowledge and the grace and obtain wisdom from on high, that we would have the Word of God, hallelujah, defending us, uplifting us, edifying us, convicting us, knowing that God has set already in course a wonderful plan for you and I. Let's move on to verse 4. Here we go, in Titus chapter 1. And so to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, what? Our Savior. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're moving on, saints. We only got one more verse to cover. So, Titus, a Greek, one of Paul's most trusted and dependable co-workers, as a true child, he may have been one of Paul's converts. We don't know this. It's not mentioned, but although not mentioned in Acts, other epistles point out that Titus fulfilled several missions on Paul's behalf. Paul repeated his standard greeting, grace and peace, with a slight change. The last term reveals that throughout this verse. Paul used the term Savior for both God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, thereby revealing the understanding of God's nature and work in salvation. Praise God. Praise God. And so we're going to look at our last verse right here. Look at this. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city that I have commanded you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I love Paul, how he sets the course for the saints. Praise God. And so, saints, Crete is a long 150-mile narrow island in the Mediterranean Sea, southeast of Greece. Among its population were many Jews. And the earliest converts there were probably Cretan, Jews who had been in Jerusalem at Pentecost more than 30 years before Paul wrote this letter. So they got there, the gospel spread. And perhaps there had been some renewed contact with Paul when he was there as a prisoner on his first journey to Rome, because he was always in trial. And later he had Titus return for an evangelistic return. You see, I'm thankful for that. Because why? Because apparently Paul did not stay long in Crete. So he left Titus, his trusted and able fellow worker, to complete the work of establishing correct teaching and dealing with all the false teachers, as well as appointing elders in each town. Paul appointed elders in various churches during his journeys. Praise God. Oh, that's right. We see this right here. We see this in Acts chapter 14. Let's go there real quick. Look at this. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, that was Paul's calling, was to appoint elders and to build up churches, to establish churches. And that's what basically an apostle is, one who ventures out and establishes churches. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, on Paul's return from the first missionary journey, he took extra time to revisit every church and establish each church's leadership. He could not stay in each church, but he knew that these brand new churches needed strong spiritual leaders. You see, my friends, The men chosen were to lead the churches by teaching sound doctrine, helping believers to mature in their faith, praise God, spiritually and with wisdom, equipping believers to live for Jesus Christ despite all the opposition they encountered. And the following verses give the qualifications for elder saints. That's what it did. And so we're going to get into Titus chapter 1, starting with verse 6 next week. But I'm here to let you know that what we see in today's world lets us know that soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for His church. Yesterday, we just had a 5.1 earthquake up in San Jose. We're seeing hurricanes and tsunamis around the world. We're seeing everything that Jesus said we would see in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke 21, Matthew 24. Saints, I really believe that Jesus is coming soon. And if you're listening for the very first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, my heart's crying out to you that you would turn. Turn from your, the Bible says, turn from your wicked ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's to repent. Make an about face. Turn your back on sin and turn to the living God. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. If you have just a tiny measure of faith, that's all that's needed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are saved by God's grace through faith. And grace alone and faith alone. There's nothing you can do to save yourself but believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if that's you, I don't care what you're going through right now. Some of you that are listening to my voice right now are going through perilous times, turbulent times. Some of you maybe are on the brink of divorce. Some of you right now maybe got laid off and don't see another penny coming. Some of you may have wayward children that have gone astray. Some of you right now are feeling depression. Some of you right now are walking with anxiety and fear what tomorrow brings. Some of you fear what tomorrow will bring, not only just for you, but maybe someone that you care about. I'm here to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. My friends, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me. I really feel someone right now that's watching. They've never given their heart to Christ, or maybe they logged in and you have drifted away somewhere down in your faith. I'm here to let you know that God will restore you. God will bring you back into the fold. God will continue to build up your life. Right where you left off, He'll pick you up and you start moving forward. But for those who've never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, all you have to do is cry out. Cry out in faith and believe that God can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me so that I can pray for you. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you just are coming back, you're coming back to the fold, you've been walking away, I want you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Listen, someone just got saved. And if that's you, listen, down below, you can see our banner down there. Hey, our website's right there. Log on. Our phone number, email's on there. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. That's right. We want to point you to a good church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And hopefully, God will start you off on a new path. And I have no doubt that's what He would do. And also, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all those who continue to bless this ministry. It's mind-boggling on the faith that you have to continue to bless our ministry. And we are mighty thankful. So down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time that I pray our benediction and say goodbye. And I'm excited about this book, the book of Titus. And I know that we're going to get quite a bit out of this. I really believe that. And don't forget, before we send out the benediction, that this Sunday morning, we're going to have a testimonial service. And I need you to come and testify. Bring friends. Bring family. Come on. Testify on what God has done in your life. So we're going to have worship and testimonies until we're done. And God's going to get all the glory and praise. Yes. So remember, it's no longer going to be Sunday evening. It'll be this Sunday morning. Praise God. Praise God. And I also want to give a great big shout out to those who can go out and support the Madison Warhawks. They play Lincoln this Friday at Lincoln. Come on. Come on out and be a great big support and cheer on this wonderful team. And the three cousins that attend, they're awesome. They're awesome. And they are James Taval, Jonah Rodriguez, and Titus Tololo. I'm so blessed to be their pastor, and I'm mighty thankful. So I encourage you to come out and cheer them on this Friday. It's for who's going to be number one in the county and remain number one as they go into the playoffs the following week. And so, my friends, I'm going to send my benediction on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family. It goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. My friends, we love you. God bless you. And we will definitely see you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at beautiful Bonita location at 5305 Sweetwater Road. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.